There was a time when I avoided the Proverbs 31 teachings like the plague. I don't know about you. You know how she talked about this condemning? Well, I always felt that way when I'd walk out of those Proverbs 31 teachings, all of the you should be's. So I avoided them like the plague. I felt like they were discouraging. I called it the Wonder Woman chapters. Yeah. Proverbs 31:25, though, is what we're going to talk about tonight. So you can tell God has done a work in me, because I would never have addressed this a few years ago. Proverbs 31:25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She smiles at the future, or she can laugh at the days to come. One commentator restated this as, she was free from anxiety and worry. Is that even reality? So tonight we're going to take a good look at that scripture and discover this woman's secret. But I hope this will be encouraging rather than discouraging. So, she smiles at the future. I don't know about you, but there are those days where I'm not smiling. And I'm wondering, anxiety, it's a funny thing. It comes into our lives in the funniest packages sometimes, just out of nowhere. Was having a good day. Those kind of things. You know, it could happen on the freeway. It could happen getting out of bed. Goodness sakes. Well, I'm going to tell you a funny story, just how anxiety is in life. I remember one day when I was teaching in the classroom, and it was the first lesson of the day, and it was the opening calendar lesson with my first graders. And while this student was up working on the calendar, I sat down in the chair in the front of the classroom, only to discover that there was something cold underneath me. And much to my dismay, I realized that I had sat on the open ink pad left by this very helpful student. Guess what color the ink was? You got it. It was red, red ink. Now imagine my anxiety level when I realized I had red ink stamped on my rear end. And it was the first lesson of the day, and I was stuck in the front of my classroom. So I stood there like a deer in the headlights, wondering how in the world am I going to motor through the rest of this day? At first, that panic set in, and then I had a flash of inspiration. So I called my principal on the PA system. Of course, I didn't explain thoroughly. I just asked her to come over. And she was able to take my class for 45 minutes while I could rush home and change. Except now I had a dilemma. How was I going to get from my classroom to my car? Well, I don't know about you, but have you ever seen Agent 007? Well, that's what I did. I did an Agent 007 escape. I was against the wall, and then I peek around a corner, and then I just ran like mad to my car. And the whole time, my teaching partner is laughing and waving and pointing. Yeah, it was a colorful day. And did I worry? Well, honestly, I had my concerns about what the parents would hear over dinner that night. Mommy, Daddy, Mrs. Miles had a big red spot on the rear of her pants today. What was I going to hear the next day? I'm smiling now, and actually I was laughing then. But I did have a few moments of serious concern. Well, I tell you that funny story because it was an anxious moment, and it's hilarious. Not all anxious moments are really funny, but the point is the anxiousness or the anxiety going to handle us, or are we going to handle the anxiety? Now, in our own strength, the anxiety will squish us. It will. So I know that one of the secrets is that we need to go somewhere with this anxiety. So we're going to learn about that. This is February 21, 1994, 3 a.m. Can't sleep. Worries whirling through my mind. A bit of a cry. Please cleanse me. Forgive me. Direct me. I hear him say, trust me. What all am I trusting you for? Sanity? Balance? My marriage? My child? His answer, life. Oh, that must be all of the above. That was in 1994 that I put that journal entry in. But how is it that one smiles at the future when there's been a death in the family and all you want to do is stay in bed and just try and draw the next breath? Or maybe smiling at the future feels impossible because life is burdened with financial stress and you are buried in bills. Or someone has betrayed your trust and left you and you wonder if you'll ever trust or love again. Perhaps depression plagues you and life has a dark gray cloud over it and you wonder, when was the last time my heart genuinely smiled? Or your plate is so full and your mind is so busy that you find yourself in Davis when you were trying to drive home. Or how about the days when you feel so overwhelmed that you can't make one more decision and you stand in Starbucks with that glazed over look as they ask you for the 14th time, low-fat milk or non-fat milk? And you just stand there like, just make the decision for me. Or you're in the grocery store and they're asking paper or plastic and you just want to yell, just bag the groceries! Or it's your PMS week and your boss tells you, oh yeah, that project that's due next week, it's due tomorrow. You can't hardly get out of bed. One has to wonder, when the Proverbs 31 woman laughed at tomorrow, was it the hilarity of insanity? Was it comic relief? I'm kidding, of course, but remember the Lord's message in my journal, trust me with your life. All of the above. So, Charlotte Bronte has this quote, cheerfulness, it would appear, is a matter which depends fully as much on the state of things within as on the state of things without and around us. This statement has merit. In 1 Peter 3:4, he speaks of a calm and gentle spirit, being precious in the eyes of the Lord. This is a state of being within. Now, a calm and gentle spirit isn't something we drum up ourselves. Certainly with my kind of personality, too. Okay, I'm calm. I'm calm. I have a gentle spirit right now. Oops. Right now. It's not something you can drum up yourself, and it's not a personality trait. It's not. A calm and quiet, gentle spirit can be found in a very vivacious woman. I know women who are full of vinegar, but they have a calm and quiet spirit, and I just love them to pieces. A quiet spirit is the state of being in your heart and soul. It comes from having rest, specifically having found rest in God. Having rested in God and continuing by an act of will to rest in God. So the key to having a calm and quiet spirit within and to maintain that sense of well-being in the midst of the storms of life is finding rest. Now, that rest has to be in God, and it has to be a continuing rest, sometimes a moment-by-moment rest. Henry Drummond, in the book Streams in the Desert, gave an interesting definition of rest. I like it. Rest, the response of a heart set deep in God. For a heart set deep in God, one must abide. That comes from John 15:4, right? He is the vine, we are the branches, remain in me, and I will remain in you. The point here is there is no rest aside from a heart that is set deep in God. We can go rest for a weekend somewhere, and that helps, but it's more temporary. Massages are good, mochas are good, but it's a mocha moment. It's not quite enough. They're fleeting, and they don't really address the within, the heart. In the booklet, The Tyranny of the Urgent, Hummel states, over the years, the greatest continuing struggle in the Christian life is, what do you think it is? Is the effort to make adequate time for daily waiting on God. Since this time for receiving marching orders is so important, Satan will do anything he can to squeeze it out. Yet, we know from experience that only by this means can we escape the tyranny of the urgent. This is how Jesus succeeded, and he was God. He did not finish all the urgent tasks in Palestine or all the things he would like to have done. But he did finish the work which God gave him to do. The only alternative to frustration is to be sure that we are doing what God wants. Nothing substitutes knowing that this day, this hour, in this place, we are doing the will of God. Then and only then can we think of all the unfinished tasks with a sense of peace and leave them with God. Isn't that beautiful? I remember praying to God when my father was dying and asking God to please heal him. And I received this amazing resolve in my heart. And these words came into my mind. And I know it was the Lord speaking back to me. And the Lord answered me. And he said, I am healing him. I'm bringing him home. My purpose for your life, Sharon, is holiness, not health or happiness. And then he brought to mind Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. Now, did I like this answer? No, I didn't like the answer. I cried. I was deeply broken. But I trusted my Heavenly Father, and I was thankful that he was walking me through that experience in my life. And I was able to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was his will. It wasn't my choice. I would not have signed up for that idea, but it was his will. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, he gave me the strength and the ability to accept his will and trust him through the grieving time. Now, had I not spent that time with him, I would not have been able to accept God's will with peace. That kind of peace just doesn't even make sense, does it? It just happens to you. Like LaVon said, that her feelings just changed. Her whole countenance just changed. That's when God's Holy Spirit just does his business inside of you. I would have been broken with despair and 101 unanswered questions. But instead, I was broken, but I had my Father's, my Heavenly Father's strength and his word to aid me through that grieving process. That is rest. It doesn't change the circumstance, but there's rest for your soul. If we don't know God as our Heavenly Father, or Jesus Christ as our beloved and not just Savior, then we will not have rest for our souls. That's a hard teaching, but it's true. If we do not know or access his word, then we will not have rest for our souls. If we don't trust God the Father and God the Son, we will trust ourselves and we will function independent of him. That separation began in the garden and it was called the fall, and it devastated Adam and Eve, and it still hurts us today. We were not created to function independent of God our Father. I have made a list of some things, some hindrances to rest or to the quiet spirit. And I want each of us personally to take inventory while I read these. This list is by no means exhaustive, okay? If there's anything that brings a check in your heart, then I want you to make sure you talk about it with God. ASAP. And take it and don't shame over it. Oh my gosh, I'm doing that again. I'm still doing that. I'm still in the same place as when I was born. I want you to surrender it. Here's the encouragement. You don't have to change. You are loved just the way you are right now. The transforming part of life is God's job. Our job is to come to him and open our hearts. And then he does a surgery. It's an amazing thing. He has the transforming power. He loves us and he has our best in mind. Holiness. Here's the list. You ready? unconfessed sin? Raise your hands. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, exactly. Unconfessed sin, unacknowledged or suppressed anger, an unforgiving spirit, self-centeredness, selfish ambition, anxiety, depression, which they sometimes say is anger without enthusiasm. I like that. Neglecting responsibilities, poor stewardship, fatigue, physical disorders. Sometimes when I find myself getting really short-tempered and grumpy, I realize, uh-oh, got some of that stuff going on again. So I have to go to God and say, okay, what's up? And he helps me. Sometimes he'll show me what's up because I don't know. I'm in this emotional place. He shows me the hindrance. And then I get more emotional. No. Then that's my time to just set it at his feet. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the great thing about that is that brought me into freedom. Now, I'd have chased my tail for 2 weeks trying to figure it out. But when he can show me, then I can unload it. It's quite simple, really. So, the Proverbs 31:25 woman has strength and dignity, and she smiles at the future. Now, I've always thought, gosh, she has it all together. I don't really like her. But it doesn't say that she didn't have physical disorders or fatigue or other stresses. We just assume, right? It states that she had strength, but that was God-given, right? And it states that she had dignity, meaning nobility of character. That was also God-given. May I be so bold to suggest that she had strength and character because of the situations in her life that she walked through, and God gave her these things as a result? Why didn't I think of that before? Romans 5:3, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that our suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. Perseverance is the strength that she has, right? Dignity is the character, and the hope is that silly smile on her face at the future. She was not always that perfect Proverbs 31 woman. It was a process for her too. She is us. We're just like her. You are a Proverbs 31 woman. That is refreshing. And she's in the book, the Bible, to give us hope. We too are Proverbs 31 women, not to be beaten down by her. She gives us the desire for holiness, a goal in mind, and what that might look like. We all want to be able to laugh at tomorrow, to smile at the future, to walk in strength and character. If we dig into the word, we are given tools to aid us in being Proverbs 31 women. It's a venture. Now first, here's some of the tools. Rest, right? We talked about that. She must have known surrender. That's what that smile is. She stepped into freedom. Because if you're not surrendering it, you look at tomorrow and it's just like, oh, it's just one more thing. But if you're surrendering the stuff, the baggage, then you do have freedom to look at tomorrow and go, oh, bring it on. Now, Jesus states in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How many times have you kept that on there? No, I got it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm fine. Got it. I'm doing good. I'm great. I still got it. And you're weary and you're burdened down. It's pretty simple. She got Matthew 11:28. Let go. Secondly, she knew something very powerful. Get ready, women. That is what kept her dignity and pleasant peace of mind. Whether our soul is at rest or troubled does not depend on whether our emotions are satisfied or not. Soul, emotions. The Christian life is not to be lived in the emotion, but in the will. Our emotions belong to us. We endure them. We even enjoy them sometimes. but they are not to be the governing power in our nature. There is something inside of us, behind our emotions, beyond our emotions, and it is our deciding power. That is our will. And when our will is God-directed, and we let God enter into our will and reign over it, that's when all the rest of our nature comes into harmony, basically. There is an obedience. There is a rest. There is a oneness with Christ. It is a choice. It is an act of will. We do it every day. I don't really feel like going to work today. Do we go to work? Yeah! Why is it so hard to do that in our Christian walk? I don't really feel like being a Christian today. Do you really love me today, God? Well, you say you do. No, I don't think so, because I don't feel it. We do that all the time with our Christian walk, and yet we still get up in the morning and go to work because we have to. Well, you have to do an act of will in your Christian faith as well. Keep it simple. Then, when this happens, when it all comes into play and you realize that you're existing in choice in the act of the will, it all comes together and the struggles are less. You struggle less with yourself. You struggle less with Satan. And all that list that we had of hindrances are minimized. And then they become victories in Satan's face. Because he can bring them up and go, victory. No, yeah, I still feel that, but it's bringing me closer to God. It's that easy. Yeah, I still have that. It's bringing me closer to God. Don't let him use that on you. It's an act of will. You can choose to believe you're a schmuck and you're still failing, or you can go, right, God uses that stuff to bring me closer to him in his face. That's what you need to be. You need to be strong. You need to take all that stuff, quit trying to cope on your own, let it go, give it to God, and then stand there, because then you have that strength and that dignity. And really, all you did was let it go. It is simple. We can be Proverbs 31 women. Now, I want to read something else to you. I am a very strong-willed human being. You might want to pray for my husband. Now, I shared that one bit out of my journal so many years ago. Now, I'm going to share the next day and the third day, and it is amazing transformation from a very strong-willed person. I had a dream the other night, a house, filthy and falling apart, crumbling plaster, etc. When I went to clean parts, they became worse. As I scrubbed, it didn't get cleaner. I found that it wasn't just dirt, it was walls decaying. I'm afraid to say that perhaps that was a picture of my internal state. Insecurities, resentments, fears, guilt, lack of trust in God. Perhaps my own heart, my house, is divided against itself. Thus, it can't stand. I feel no freedom. I desperately need to be restored to your freedom, Father. Listen to 2 days later. This is God's transformation, because you know me, I'm chasing my tail, right? But I'm giving this to God, right? Here it is, the dying time. This is about will, ladies. The death of dreams, dying love, a broken heart. Endless work full of disdain, born to die, but wondering why, a life of no reason. I must follow my gut, my heart, my conviction, to the end of myself, to the beginning of life. That was the day the Lord taught me to surrender my will. It is a powerful transformation that happens when you go through that dying time. You may be saying, well, that's all well and good for you, Sharon, but you don't understand my depression. It is so great that I need to medicate. So beat yourself up over that? No. This is what I'm going to ask you. There's no judgment on whether you medicate, whether you're depressed, or whatever. God loves you right now. You are a Proverbs 31 woman in process. What I challenge you to do today is to commit to meditate before you medicate. to meditate during while you medicate, and to keep on meditating on God's word. The medication may take the edge off so you can have more clear thinking. I understand that. But it is the meditation on God's word that will take the final burden, that will aid you in releasing. So, whether it is wine, depression meds, shopping, food, nail biting, whatever, meditate, 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 and keep on meditating. Psalm 1, blessed is the person who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I want that. And I know you do too. No withering, lots of refreshing, God's blessing. Here's our tools from tonight's teaching. Spend the time with God. Get a real relationship. Study his word. Apply it to your daily living and situation. If God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Take the active will and believe it. Be real with him. Unload on him. He's really good at dealing with that. Better than your best friend or your husband. Take inventory of your heart and give it to him. The word tells us to examine our hearts when we lay our heads on our pillows. And God wants us to be cleansed on a continual basis. Give it all to him. And do not lead with your emotions. I know it's hard, but I mean it. Lead with a will yielded to God. And meditate, meditate, meditate on God's word. If we do these things diligently, people will begin to wonder about these silly smiles on our faces. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for freedom for each woman in this room, that we would be convinced of your amazing love for us in this very moment, at whatever condition our heart may be in this very moment. I pray for the inventory in our hearts, God, that we would release to you any hindrance, God, that holds us back from fully accessing all of you, God. It is beyond my imagination how you can give all of yourself to each of us. Thank you. Help us to keep our hearts open. Help us to walk in freedom. Help us to encourage one another in your truth, in your word, and in your holiness. We love you. In Christ's name, amen.